This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. An Illinois Wesleyan University graduate and vaccine researcher says if the flu vaccine is a guide, it will be difficult to convince enough people to take the coronavirus vaccine to achieve herd immunity.
To the extent that people reject the vaccine, we will continue as a society to shoot ourselves in the foot. Thousands of people will die as a result of that. It's a very selfish thing when people don't take precautions.
And hear more about the science behind the vaccine. Plus, a new senior housing project is taking shape for the old TB sanatorium and health department building in Normal. And the mayor of Normal says the municipal election 3 months away is already affecting town council public discourse. All that and a news update on the way. This is Sound Ideas on WGLT.
Support for Sound Ideas comes from Bloomington Normal Audiology, the best hearing device center in the Pantograph Reader's Choice Awards for the sixth year in a row. Bloomington Normal Audiology thanks the listeners and their continued vote of confidence as the leaders in hearing and technology. With a practice featuring five doctors, including two who wear hearing devices themselves, BNA takes a genuine interest in each patient and helps you keep hearing the most important sounds of your life. More information at bnaudiology.com. Bloomington Normal Audiology, here for you.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Let's run down some of the day's top stories. Nursing homes in McLean County have started to get their first COVID vaccines. Westminster Village in Bloomington will begin vaccinating staff and residents tomorrow. Chief Operating Officer Matt Reel says all staff will be required to get the vaccine unless they have a medical or religious exemption.
This is our duty to the residents that we serve, and if this can help get us to a place of better visitation and protection and allowing people with, you know, that connection to family, friends, and community, that's what we're called to do.
Reel says residents won't be required to get the vaccine. He says Westminster's independent living residents are not eligible for the vaccine in this priority group. McLean County long-term care facilities continue to struggle to keep COVID-19 from spreading among residents and staff. Dana Vollmer reports.
Data from the Illinois Department of Public Health show 13 open outbreaks. The largest outbreaks remain at three facilities. Heritage Health of Normal confirmed 104 cases and 11 deaths. Those numbers about doubled from early December. The McLean County Nursing Home now logs 82 cases and 11 deaths. That's up from 64 cases and one death. And Arcadia Care of Bloomington added four deaths in the last 3 weeks. IDPH data show 66 deaths tied to McLean County long-term care facilities. That's nearly 60% of the total deaths reported in the county since the start of the pandemic. I'm Dina Vollmer.
The number of McLean County residents hospitalized with COVID-19 more than doubled overnight, up to 37 patients. That's a new record for hospitalizations, surpassing the 29 patients reached last week. 65% of McLean County intensive care beds are in use. That's down 20% overnight. Overall, bed capacity tightened. There are now 14% of hospital beds available, half of yesterday's capacity. The McLean County Health Department confirms 126 new COVID-19 cases Tuesday. The county's testing positivity rate rose back into the double digits at 10%. Congressman Darren LaHood is noncommittal on how he'll vote tomorrow on the confirmation of the Electoral College's 2020 election votes. A spokesperson for LaHood says the Peoria Republican is still reviewing legislative and legal proceedings. The Electoral College affirms Democrat Joe Biden defeated Donald Trump 306-232, but without presenting evidence, Trump continues to allege widespread voter fraud. Many Republican members of the House and Senate say they plan to contest the results. Republican State Representative Tim Butler of Springfield says he's no longer interested in the state Senate seat vacated by Bill Brady last week, and a longtime member of the Tazewell County government has announced his intention to seek the appointment. David Zimmerman says he wants to bring the principles of Tazewell County government to Springfield.
We do those things that we're statutorily obligated to do. You don't get a lot of bells and whistles, but you do get efficient, inexpensive government.
Zimmerman has served on the Tazewell County Board for a quarter century. He has been the county board chair for 12 years. Republican county chairs from five counties in the district will decide by the end of the month who to appoint to serve the remaining 2 years of Brady's term. State Representative Tim Butler of Springfield wants to create an independent 11-person redistricting commission via statute.
This gives us an opportunity going into veto session to put this on the books, to pass something quickly, to hold the governor to feet to the fire in his promise to enact fair maps, and to hold accountable the other members of the General Assembly, who we have a lot of members of the General Assembly who have signed on for fair maps.
This comes after a constitutional amendment to change how the state draws legislative districts failed to make last November's ballot. This is Sound Ideas on 89.1 FM, WGLT, and WGLT.org. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
Support for WGLT comes from Bloomington Normal Audiology. With a practice featuring five doctors, including two who wear hearing devices themselves, BNA takes a genuine interest in each patient. They believe those personal partnerships are how people embrace hearing technology and keep hearing the most important sounds of their lives. More information at bnaudiology.com.
You're listening to Bloomington Normal's Public Media. The number of so-called dedicated anti-vaxxers in the United States is relatively small, but there are more well-intentioned, though uneducated, people who are hesitant about getting a COVID-19 vaccine. That's according to Dr. Greg Poland, an Illinois Wesleyan University graduate who leads vaccine research for the Mayo Clinic. Poland tells Dana Vollmer some of the confusion is because it's the first time the public is seeing an mRNA vaccine.
But there's an mRNA vaccine against Ebola, and these vaccines started in their development 30 years ago in 1990. They've changed substantially, and I guess it's a word that sounds scary if you're not familiar to it, but all mRNA is, all it is a blueprint for one protein from the virus. So it's sort of like saying, the car was sitting there all along, and all we did was put the engine in it. And that's what it does. So it's a blueprint that gets delivered into our cells. That blueprint causes our cells to make copies of the spike protein, the S protein, a protein that comes from the virus. It makes that for a few hours, displays those proteins on our immune cells, and stimulates an immune response, which protects us. And the amazing thing about these vaccines is we expected, efficacy in the 50, 60%, something like that. This has been 95 to 100% across all races, across all ages, across all other concomitant medical problems. We do not have other vaccines this powerfully effective.
I think the accelerated timeline for these vaccines concerns some people. We hear a lot of questions about how the vaccine will interact with other medications and chronic conditions, for example. What do we know from the trials that were conducted?
Yeah, well, we know a lot. We know thousands and thousands of pages of material. It has been rapid. That acceleration of time has not been cutting corners on the science side. What's been involved is the rapid movement through the normal phases of clinical research and a lot of cutting of so-called red tape. Now, having said that, the more people you test, the more confident you become. Let's take an average vaccine. An average vaccine might be tested in 10,000 people and then released. So far, this has been tested, the mRNA vaccines I'm talking about, in 70,000 people. We never, ever have vaccine trials that big. So, while it seems rushed, it seems so fast because we're in the middle of a pandemic and you could accumulate cases so fast because of people's inability to follow basic public health recommendations or unwillingness to follow them.
And even with this large test base, is there going to be a piece of this that is kind of wait and see for certain conditions as we continue to roll it out to more Americans?
Yeah, that's a good question, Dana. And there, you know, there's always, I mean, the nature of science for everything you use in your life, which came from science, every single thing you use in your life came from science. We always learn more. There's nothing you use in your life that doesn't come from science, and there's nothing that doesn't have both benefits and risks. Probably many people will drive a car today or this week, even though there's a 15, 20% lifetime risk of permanent disability from doing that. I mean, imagine if I told you that about a medication, you'd say, no way would I use it. But you think nothing of it in driving your car because you see that the benefits outweigh those risks. The same is true with vaccines. We will never know everything. That just doesn't happen in science. So what do we not know at this point? Well, because it hasn't been tested yet, we don't know the efficacy and safety in children, in pregnant women, in people who are highly immunocompromised, in the eldest of the elderly. So those would be some of the issues.
And so we've heard this goal of getting 80% of people vaccinated to achieve herd immunity. And we know that there's this contingent of people who say they don't want to take the vaccine. Taking that into account, are we on pace to reach that 80% mark?
Yeah, this is going to be a very tough job, Dana. Let's just take influenza vaccine. We've been making and distributing influenza vaccine for seven decades. We're actually getting into the eighth decade, and yet people still reject that vaccine. So I'm not surprised that people will reject it because they're uninformed about the risks of rejecting it and the true risks of getting infected with SARS-CoV-2. To the extent that people reject the vaccine, we will continue as a society to shoot ourselves in the foot. We will prolong needlessly the pandemic. Thousands of people will die as a result of that. Hospitals will continue to be overwhelmed, and people will be harmed. It's a very selfish thing when people don't take precautions and when they reject vaccines, because they're not only placing themselves at risk, but the people around them.
That's Mayo Clinic vaccine researcher and Illinois Wesleyan grad Greg Poland speaking with Dana Vollmer. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. A union-backed development group is moving ahead with a $9 million affordable senior housing project that would use the old TB sanatorium in Normal. The proposal goes to the Normal Planning Commission this week, and bids are underway. Tim Ryan of the Laborers Home Development Corporation says the location of the Fairview building that used to house the county health department is well-suited for senior living.
We've always had an interest in McLean County and Bloomington Normal to do some sort of housing, affordable housing, whether it be senior or family. Most of our interest in the previous project has always been what we would call multifamily, so meaning it's not restricted to any age group. You know, anyone can live there. But here recently, we looked at the Fairview building, and it seemed like senior would be a good fit for that area because of the area it's in, it's how close it is to various amenities in town, access to the bus route, which I believe is right out on Main Street. The way the building kind of lays out, the current building that's there, it just kind of lends itself to seniors because it would be smaller units. So units that typically families aren't going to be moving into. We're kind of approached by the county to, after our work in Parasol, we've had a high school into senior apartments. I believe the county kind of caught wind of that and asked if we would consider looking at this project for that same type, for that basically that same population. And that's what we ended up doing. We took a look at it, kind of determined, yeah, this would be a very good site for seniors. You know, that could be out of this site is that with the nursing home being next door, you could potentially have a situation where one spouse is living in our development and maybe the other spouse is at the nursing home, and then that way they don't have to be too far separated. Or there could always be the potential that, you know, once they leave our development, if they need more care or assistance, they can always move to the nursing home that's adjacent to us. So there's definitely a multitude of factors that we kind of looked at and determined why senior. So that's kind of why we picked this site and why this site we thought would be good for a senior.
What's the vision for this site? How big will it be? Who will live there? What are income guidelines? That sort of thing.
So it would be seniors age 55 and older. Basically, it would be affordable housing that people who live at different income levels would qualify to live there. The building itself is 46 units, and it is in a setup of studios, one and two bedroom units.
So it would not only use the old health department building, and even before that it was the TB sanatorium building, but there would be an addition to it. How big would that addition be compared to what the Fairview building has as a footprint?
So the addition is where the majority of units will be housed, where the majority of the tenants will in fact live. The existing structure will still house some units, but that building will primarily have tenant service space in it, so like a community room, a leasing manager's office, most likely a maintenance personnel's office.
As an aside, going forward,
yeah,
with the Fairview site would mean that you're no longer interested in the area south of the tracks in Uptown?
No, I would say we are always interested anywhere in town. It's not uncommon for us to have multiple developments in the same area. Just as an example, in Paris, Illinois, we actually have three developments. So we are still very much interested in doing more in McLean County if the opportunity is there.
How big a demand is there in the state and in the Bloomington Normal area for affordable senior housing?
There's quite a big push, and I would say it's probably fairly even between between senior and multifamily. You know, I think one of the challenges for seniors is finding affordable housing to live in. The fortunate thing with us is, you know, the fortunate thing about this property is that we are able to, through the tax credits that we apply for, allows us to keep the rents low, which allows it to become affordable for more people. And I think that's probably a challenge that most seniors have is finding an affordable place to live, and it's a place that they want to live too.
What does the Laborers International Union affiliation bring to the table for this kind of project?
So what this allows is for Laborers Home Development to create projects for members of LIUNA. It allows us to go in, develop a project, and then guarantee that members of LIUNA and various other trades will be able to work on the project.
What is your hoped-for timeline, realizing that in today's environment could change drastically?
I know, right? I always hate to tell our timeline, only because I feel like I jinxed ourselves. But if we lived in a perfect world, ideally this project could potentially be under construction most likely very late fall, very late fall of 21, possibly kind of that first quarter of 2022. We have to be given approval by the Illinois Housing Development Authority, and then we have to get all our approvals through the State Historic Preservation Office, which is where we're applying for state and federal tax credits, historic tax credits.
The Laborers Home Development Corporation funds projects through rent and development fees. Illinois Housing Development Authority tax credits allow lower rent for seniors and families. The tax credits are awarded on a competitive basis. Ryan says McLean County government must also still decide whether it wants to lease or sell the land for the project and then come to a final agreement with the laborers group. The Normal Town Council has approved spending about $150,000 on a 3-year recycling contract with Midwest Fiber for its Dropbox program. Joining us to talk about that and other issues is Mayor Chris Koos of Normal. Normal's cost is going down, but the overall price of the program after cost sharing is going up by more than a third. Why is that?
It's a program that fluctuates a lot, and a lot of that has to do based on what the cost of recyclables are. Sometimes we get paid for materials, other times we have to pay to get them into the recycle stream. So it's a fluctuating event. We think they're probably growing use on it as well.
The town already has curbside recycling. Why is the Dropbox program at sites including Walmart still important?
Ecology Action Center did some surveys on the use of that. And, it turned out it's about a third, a third Normal, a third Bloomington, and a third McLean County and other. And that's why we've come up with this scenario that we split the cost on that. There are people that just, they like the idea of doing their own recycling in a drop box. And there are some people that frankly don't want to buy a tote or can't afford a tote to buy one for curbside. And so they're perfectly happy taking recyclables to a drop box. There are also people that live in townhomes and that are kind of in the middle in terms of they're not in a large multifamily unit and they're not in single family, so they don't get picked up.
Since about 40% of total recycling for the town comes through the Dropbox program, it raises a question about bang for the buck for curbside. How could that be made better or alternatively be dropped if the cost per unit recycled is so much higher?
You know, it's something that we work on continually to try and get people to recycle. We encourage it periodically through our utility bills and that to try and get more people to do it. You know, we're looking out into the long term. It's more important that we reduce as much going to the landfill as we possibly can, because if it gets to the point where we would remove curbside recycling, it would just divert that much more material to the landfill, and that would raise prices.
The intergovernmental agreement between the county and Bloomington and Normal will reduce the town cost proportionately of the entire Dropbox program. But there were some no votes, a couple based on the idea that the contract for Midwest Fiber should follow ratification of the intergovernmental agreement. That didn't get a majority, but it does raise a question, why go to the labor of crafting a contract without being sure it will take effect through the intergovernmental agreement? Yes, there's no effect on the town, but it seems inefficient.
We are fully confident that there will be a contract. And the contract for the recycling is with the town. The participation by the city of Bloomington and the county is through intergovernmental agreement. So it's not that three entities have to sign the contract. We sign the contract, and then we, through intergovernmental agreement, get reimbursed from McLean County and from the city of Bloomington.
Yeah, but the three no votes kind of indicate that it seems some reservations, though, about continuing to bear the cost of the program without the cost sharing.
But in the clause of the contract, there is termination. So if one of the entities, and we fully expect in the next 2 weeks for them to take action on it, if one of the entities drops out, then we'll terminate the contract.
As has become common in recent months, several council members pushed back during the meeting against statements from council member Stan Nord. Kathleen Lorenz criticized Nord for saying something to the effect of who even runs the city and accusing the town staff of giving secret discounts to Phoenix investors for its development on the north end of town. Karen Smith called out Stan Nord on saying the town staff secretly brought the Midwest Fiber recycling back into play. Kevin McCarthy chided Nord for interrupting and speaking over the city manager. You even snarked at Nord. You were surprised he voted yes on bills after having so many problems with that item. Why is this happening more now? Is it the coming elections?
Yes, that's my read on it. It's to kind of stir the pot going into election season. is how I see this, because it has very definitely been timed to this season.
Which, the pushback or the comments from
the the comments and the level of rhetoric has risen pretty strongly in the last, I'd say, 2 to 3 meetings.
Do repeated baseless attacks on town operations, such as the false comment on secret discounts, risk delegitimizing government in the public mind?
I very definitely does with some people, and other people are pretty outraged. You know, it's a microcosm model of what's happening at the national scene. People have seen the Trump administration do this kind of thing very successfully, as we're in a ratification of President-elect Biden's election. There are people out there that are saying it was a rigged election and we need to stop it without any proof.
Mayor Chris Koos of Normal, thanks.
You're welcome.
The mayors of Bloomington and Normal join us on Sound Ideas the day after most council meetings. Mayor Terry Renner of Bloomington will be next week. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Thanks for choosing Sound Ideas on WGLT, made possible in part by Bloomington Normal Audiology. This is Bloomington Normal's public media.